You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
It's Thursday, May 22nd. Today on the show, Bubba Carpenter joins us. We'll preview Arkansas Ole Miss tomorrow at the SEC Baseball Tournament. A couple of old foes that are very familiar with each other playing in Hoover. You can find our podcast on Apple by searching Whole Hog Sports or on our Whole Hog Sports YouTube page. Hope to see you there.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Arkansas is going to play Ole Miss tomorrow at 3 o'clock in Hoover. The Rebels beat Florida late last night. This game didn't end until right about midnight, maybe even a little bit after. Rebels won 3-1. It was not a very exciting game. Three-run fourth inning for Ole Miss. One run, obviously, for Florida in the fifth. Three of the four runs that were scored in this game were scored because of errors. And so the Rebels moving on to play the Razorbacks tomorrow. It's scheduled for 3 o'clock in Hoover, Alabama. We're joined on the phone today, usually in studio, but Bubba Carpenter is on the road on his way down to Hoover. We had a nice big set built for Bubba and everything, and then he had a little bit of a delay getting there. Bubba, we appreciate you joining us, though.
How's it going, Matt? Good to talk to you.
I appreciate it. What do you remember about when Arkansas played Ole Miss earlier this year?
You know, I remember a lot of runs scored. You know, and I actually have the scores here. I mean, we scored on Saturday and Sunday. We scored 12 runs both games. I remember Davlin. Didn't Davlin have a big hit?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just the thing about Ole Miss is they're always a big physical team that can score runs. You know, and the good news is that we're not going to face Hunter Elliott. Their day two guys, Riley Maddox, he went four innings, gave up four hits and three runs against us last time we faced him. Of course, that was a long time ago. And I've been looking back at some of his starts. He's good sometimes, and sometimes he's not good. But I would assume that's who they're going to throw against us.
Yeah, I haven't heard for sure what their pitching plans are. I know that, like you said, they threw Hunter Elliott last night. And the other thing that they did last night, Bubba, was they threw Mason Morris, who's kind of their top, you know, long relief pitcher. And then they brought Connor Spencer in from the bullpen to throw an inning. And so they get today off. They don't have to play today. That's just the way the tournament format works this year. So they will get a day to rest those guys. But obviously this sets up a lot better for Arkansas from a pitching perspective.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, we can obviously go Zach Root. We can throw everything at him tomorrow. But, you know, a guy like Morris would be able to come back. Spencer would be able to come back. I mean, so they're going to be okay. They're going to be in good shape. And, they're going to go all in. They're going to do whatever it takes to win this game. But – you know, you look at Zach's start, you know, when, you know, once again, that was a long time ago. That was March 14th. He gave up 10 hits, 7 runs, two walks, 3 Ks. You know, so he wasn't his best against them. But I, you know, last week was, you know, after a start that's not really good for Zach Root, he always comes back that next week really good. So I think he's going to come back and pitch really well. And I think this ballpark is a good ballpark for him to pitch in. I think it plays well for his stuff.
That's a good point that you make about how he has bounced back, because, you know, he didn't pitch well against Ole Miss, but then the next week he threw a 7-inning complete game against South Carolina. The week after that he threw 7 2/3 against Vanderbilt. You think about a couple of weeks back, I think the start at Florida didn't go great for him, but then he bounces back and he pitched really well against Texas and LSU. And so I can't think of a whole lot of instances this year where Zach has where he's had two outings in a row that just haven't been up to, you know, his standard.
Right. And look, against Tennessee, he wasn't bad. He kind of lost the feel for his breaking ball. He couldn't really locate his fastball. He kind of gutted through 3 2/3, 7 hits, 4 runs, but that's a really good, the Tennessee offense is really good. Mm-hmm. So, and the thing about it is if you make a mistake, they hurt you. And that's what happened with Zach. And they'll battle you too. They won't chase pitches. They don't chase a lot. So you got to be really good against Tennessee. And Zach wasn't at his best. I would love to see Zach face Tennessee again when he's got his good stuff, mm-hmm. and see how he matches up. But that's baseball. You're never going to go out there, and that's the thing that I talk to pitchers all the time, and I pitched way back in the day. But very rarely do you go out there and you've got all 4 pitches working. I know against Texas, Zach had all 4 pitches working against Texas. I mean, he was unbelievable. But I think Texas lineup's nothing like Tennessee's. But I'd love to see him face Tennessee when he's got everything working. I think that'd be a fun matchup to watch.
I need to go back and correct myself. Against Florida, he actually was really good for the first 4 innings. He was going, punch for punch with Liam Peterson, and then it fell apart on him. And that's kind of been the thing with Root, is that there's been in a handful of games this year, there's been that one inning that it just takes him, somewhere around 30 pitches to get through. Or in the case of what happened against Tennessee the other day, he threw 37 pitches and wasn't able to get out of the inning. What do you think happens in those moments, and maybe what can he do to improve in those moments to lower the pitch counts and be able to extend those outings?
Well, it's tough, Matt, because everyone goes through that. And I jokingly compare it to my golf game. I'm gonna have a bad hole. Yeah. where I have a meltdown. Now, is it a catastrophic meltdown that's going to ruin my round, or can I come back from it? And that's kind of how Zach Root is. He's, he has that one inning, and it doesn't always happen, but sometimes you have that one inning where, maybe you walk a guy on a 3-2 pitch, and then you give up a blooper, and then you leave one over the middle of the plate, you give up a gapper. But he never really has like the catastrophic failure. He'll just have a big inning. He's typically, the thing I love about Zach Root is the way he competes. And I tell you, a play that stands out to me is the bump play against LSU. Mm-hmm. I mean, that shows what Zach Root's all about right there. I mean, for a pitcher to come in, field that bunt, make that play at home plate, not a lot of guys can do that. A lot of guys don't have the I guess I shouldn't say it like this, but not the competitor. They're all competitors, but I mean, that's a killer instinct right there to come and get that butt and make that play. And I think that says a lot about Zach, and he's able to battle through even when he doesn't have his best stuff. And I go back to a guy like a Blaine Knight. If Blaine didn't have one pitch working, he would fall back to another pitch. And I see Zach doing that. Against Tennessee, he went a little bit more to his changeup because he couldn't locate his fastball. And that helped him get through a few innings. And I don't know. I just love the way Zach competes.
So what I hear you say is that a bogey is okay. A double bogey is what you've got to avoid if you're Zach Root, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Everybody that I've talked to this week, Bubba, whether it be – I talked to Matt Hobbs a couple of days ago. I listened to Will McIntyre on the radio. I've listened to some others. They're going to Hoover trying to win this tournament. And I think they always go down there with the thought that they want to win it. But I think in past years, because of the way the format has been there for the SEC tournament, that, it's a different feel this year. When you go there and you're not going to play any more than 3 games, as opposed to in the past, if they were the number 2 seed, they might have to play 4, they might have to play 5 if they made the championship game. And I don't know. I sense a different feel from this team about the way that maybe a different mindset, the way that they're going into this tournament this year. I wonder if you've sensed that as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I love it. I think we're going down there with a killer instinct where we're going down there to win this thing. And it sets up like a weekend series, which I love the new format. I think in the past, you hear guys saying, well, we're going to go there and get our work in, and yet we want to win it. But they didn't really care if they won it. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to say. And there's a competitive switch that guys flip on when they go out on the field. And if you, if you're going down there with the mindset, oh, we're going to play two or three games. If we win, great. If not, we're going to come home and get ready for a regional. Boy, you're not going to – baseball's so mental. I mean, you got to lock in and you got to be focused. Say, all right, we're going down there for on a, we're on a mission to win this thing. And I really like the change in format, and I think that changes our mentality, our mindset. The guys I've talked to are like, let's go win that thing. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see a different approach when we get out on the field on Friday.
I think there's any motivation to the fact that they swept Texas and made them look bad for three games, and Texas still won the SEC championship. This is a way to get their own SEC championship this year.
Yeah, I think it is. I really do. And, you know, ultimately it goes back to, you know, and if we don't get to Omaha, the fans aren't going to care whether or not we won the SEC tournament. But I think it's just another notch on the post for this team. And I still say this is a special team. There's just something different about this team. And I wouldn't be surprised if we went down there and won the whole thing.
I was talking – so I mentioned I talked to Hobbs the other day. And, you know, we talked about the philosophy with pitchers and how you use your pitchers this week. And, you know, the feeling I got in talking to him was that he kind of regretted using Hagen Smith the way that he used him last year in Hoover. Remember, they threw him for 36 pitches. He went two innings against Kentucky. It's a 9:30 a.m. first pitch. And, you know, Matt told me that he just felt like Hagen had no adrenaline for that game because he knew that it was going to be a very short start. He said Hagen's a great competitor. He went out and competed, but it was just lacking maybe the same feel of the other starts that he had last year. And he said if he had to go back and do it again, he may just not pitch Hagen if he felt like he didn't, you know, like he needed some rest. Maybe you just don't pitch him at all. He said it's very hard to tell players that you can turn it off for a week and then you got to turn it back on the next week. I thought it was really interesting insight from him. He said, you know, he plans to throw his pitchers this week just like it was a normal weekend series. Let them go out there, go for as long as they can, bring bullpen pitchers in, and try to win these games. And I think that goes to – it's just a different mentality that they're going at this tournament this week with. Not that they didn't want to win it last year. It's just they're going in there, I think, with a more attacking and aggressive mentality this time.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I remember last year, and I remember thinking, gosh, I hope Hagen doesn't get hurt. You know, I hope he doesn't slip on the mound. I hope he didn't take a comebacker. I hope he didn't hurt his arm. The whole time, I'm thinking, okay, 36 pitches. Let's just get him through these 36 pitches so we can get him home healthy and get him ready for a regional. And it's hard. And Hagen pitched like a guy that was just going out and just throwing 36 pitches. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I love Hagen Smith to death, and he's a great competitor. But yeah, he didn't have that fire in him, and I don't know. I think it's I do think it's going to be different this year. I really do. I think when Zach takes the mound Friday, I think it's going to be a totally different mindset, and he's going out there for one reason only, and that's to get the win, not just to get his work in. And I felt like last year it was, you know, Hagen, we'll take the mound, just get your work in. You know, don't get hurt, and then, you know, we'll go back home to a regional. And it's just baseball players are creatures of habit, and it's hard, like I said earlier, to flip that switch on and off like that. That switch needs to be flipped on 100%. It can't be like, oh, halfway on, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
For people who haven't been there to Hoover, describe the Hoover experience, because this is something that it doesn't matter who I've talked to, you know, I think maybe people who haven't gone there, Bubba, they don't like the tournament because they don't like the format. But you talk to the players, you talk to the coaches, you talk to pretty much anybody who's ever been down there. They say it's one of the coolest experiences that you'll find in college baseball. What makes it unique?
Well, first of all, the talent. I mean, the talent that's there is incredible. There's more talent here than there is in Omaha. I mean, to win this thing, it's with the older format, it was harder to win here than it was in Omaha. I mean, every day you're seeing a powerhouse team. And I think that's what makes it special. Just such a collection of really good players, of future major league players. And if you're a fan of baseball, I mean, coming down here is awesome. I mean, you just sit around and you can look out on the field every game and say, okay, this guy's going to play in the big leagues. This guy's going to play in the big leagues. And, you know, you don't get that in other places. Not that there's good players all over the country. I'm just saying here in at the SEC tournament, you're not going to see a better collection of future major leaguers than you see here on the field. And they really take care of the guys. I think they have fun at their hotel. I think they have fun being around some of the other players that they've competed against. They get to see them at the hotel. You know, they get treated like a rock star when they get to the stadium. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think it's a great experience for the players. And, you know, I think once they take the field, it's a lot of fun, big crowds, and it's just a different environment. I think something that they, you know, that they really cherish.
Has it ever made you want to buy an RV?
I tell you what, if you're from LSU, I think every LSU fan owns an RV because there's a giant line of them when you pull into the stadium. Yeah, it would be kind of nice to be able to, you know, take some of that Matt Jones big dog money and buy me an RV and pull up there and just chill for the week. But no, it's a good experience. I know a lot of people look forward to this, you know, year round. And there's talk of moving it. You know, people have talked about moving it to Globe Life here mm-hmm. in 2 years when the contract expires. I just don't know if Hoover to me is SEC tournament. I don't know if it would be the same if it was somewhere else.
Yeah, there is something that's synonymous about just saying Hoover, and the first thing that comes to your mind is the SEC baseball tournament. Although I will say, we talked about this on the show yesterday, the Big 12 is moving out of Globe Life. It's open. It's something I think worth watching here in a few years. So the things you got there at Globe Life, it's going to lack something if it moves to Globe Life. You're going to lose something that you've got unique at Hoover, but you also get more seats. You get better weather, obviously, because you can close that roof. You appeal to a whole new base of people, and maybe no longer is Hoover the LSU Invitational. Maybe it becomes the Arkansas Invitational or the Texas or the Texas A&M. I think it could just change the dynamic of the tournament. So it'll be interesting to see if that does happen down the road. This is a big ballpark. I think the dimensions are very comparable to what you see in Omaha. But it seems like sometimes it doesn't play real big. I wonder why you think that is.
You know, a lot of it's just the weather. You know, sometimes it's real humid and muggy, and the ball just, you can't hit one out of there. Other days, I mean, the ball flies. It's crazy because it's a huge park. And sometimes I feel like it kind of plays against us because of the team that we've been in the past where we've hit a lot of fly balls. I think it's kind of hurt us here. There's been balls at the track that's been caught that are, you know, a Baum Walker or most other stadium are home runs. But I think this year's team's going to do great there just because we're a dynamic team that we can hit line drives. We can go oppo, you know, we can hit a single the other way, or we can hit a bomb. I mean, we can do multiple things, but it's just crazy how from one day to the next, the ball, it changes. And I think a lot has to do with the weather, just the, you know, how hot and humid it is. I think it's going to be perfect weather though this week, and so I don't think it's going to be a factor. But I think the ball's going to be carried a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at the forecast down there. Keeping our fingers crossed, but as of right now, it looks like everything might play out okay this weekend, and that's not always the case. Obviously, with Hoover. About as synonymous with brain delays as it is with the SEC tournament. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about what's happened so far at the SEC tournament. We'll look at the latest postseason projections. Those have changed since we talked about them yesterday, and much more with Bubba Carpenter. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. I want to tell you, too, that Ryan White is coming to the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. This is going to be next Thursday, May 29th, at noon, Home 2 Suites in Springdale. You can reserve your seat now at OzarksTix.com, OzarksTix.com, to hear Ryan White, the executive director of the Razorback Foundation at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. Bubba Carpenter's still with us. Looking at what's happened so far in Hoover, Bubba, one of the things that really stands out to me is that whether it was Hunter Elliott against Liam Peterson last night, that was a great pitching matchup, although I will say it almost put me to sleep, you know, a 1-0 game, you know, midway through at about 10:45 at night. But it was a great pitching matchup. Kyson Witherspoon pitched really well yesterday for OU. The aces, when they have pitched to this point, have pitched really well down there this week.
Yeah, they have, and I was surprised that Witherspoon shut Georgia down like he did.
He's really good.
He's good. He's really good. You know, and then the Ole Miss Florida game, couldn't get it here, but was able to listen to it, and Florida had that one bad inning that cost them, made a couple errors, but other than that, it was well pitched game, well played. Not a lot of offense though. And then I listened to the Tennessee Alabama game, and that was kind of back and forth for a little bit. And then Tennessee kind of ran away with it. And then they gave up some more runs. Looked like they were going to run rule Alabama, and then they gave up three or four runs in the last inning, but ended up winning 15-10. So it was entertaining. And you know, the thing, I don't know if you talked yesterday about the A&M game. You know, A&M shut out Mississippi State 9-0, and talk about a team that you can't figure out. You know, you look at A&M, they shut Mississippi State out. I still can't believe they got swept by Missouri, though.
It's shocking.
It's incredible.
it's the most unbelievable outcome I can ever remember in SEC baseball. Missouri, by the way, they did announce yesterday that Kerrick Jackson is going to return for another season at Mizzou. That, I guess, surprised some people. He's only been there for 2 years. And, you know, when you hear their AD, Bubba, talk about, well, we've got to give him more resources. We are not supporting this sport at the level of the other teams in the SEC. It might be kind of hard to go out on the market looking for a coach after a 3-28 season.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Kerrick Jackson. He seems like a good guy. But look, if you don't have talent in the SEC, you're not going to win. And look, nothing against those players, but they got a couple dudes that are, you know, that can play a little bit. I mean, they're all SEC players, but I mean, you got to admit, I mean, look at our roster compared to their roster. Would you give up one guy for anyone on their roster? I mean, I wouldn't trade one of our players for any of their guys. I mean, they've got to get better resources. Their facilities, it's horrible. I played showcase events there, and it's just not a place you want to play. If you're an SEC player, I don't know what would possibly attract you to go to Missouri other than if you're from there. They've got to do a lot better. They've got to give him some more resources to get better players in. It's just going to be it's just going to continue to be a tough haul for him.
It's all about obtaining a great education at the University of Missouri. That's the allure.
Is that it? You know what's funny, Matt? Now that you brought that up, you notice now in today's NIL day, you never hear about education. You're not going to a school. Nothing's about education anymore. Have you noticed that? You don't ever hear education included in anything anymore.
It's about learning about finances. That's what the college experience is now.
Be an accounting major. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Accounting for yourself. Auburn and A&M, by the time people hear this, they'll probably have already started. They play the early game there today. Big game for A&M. I mean, they got work to do this week. They're out of the NCAA tournament. As of right now, I think they got to win the SEC tournament to get into the NCAA, quite honestly. If they get to Sunday, maybe. I got my doubts that they can make it that far, but we'll see. They play Auburn in the early game. Bubba, do you have your orange shirt on today for Tennessee, Texas?
I think you know the answer to that, Matt. Yeah, how about that? That's actually going to be a good game. It'll be interesting to see Liam Doyle, you know, how he mm-hmm. does. I think he's going to dominate that Longhorn lineup because they don't swing it very well. I just it's going to be a fun matchup. Yeah, I'll be listening to it. I'll hopefully be on the road when that game's going on. So yeah, but that's going to be a good one. Who are you picking there?
I Tennessee. I think Doyle. I think the combination of the matchup is really bad, and he's probably pretty pissed after what happened here last week. I bet he goes out and pitches really well against Texas, but we'll see. We'll see. You never know. OU and Vanderbilt played the late game tonight. Of course, OU, they shot their big bullet last night with Kyson Witherspoon. Vanderbilt's been playing really well. A little bit of luck, I think, that's involved in this, but, you know, you kind of have to make your own luck sometimes, and they've been really good in the late moments of these games. I think I heard something on SEC Network last night that they've won 5 consecutive games with a run in their last at-bat.
Wow. Yeah, they're playing well. You know, so I mean, it's so crazy. The margin of error is so small, Matt. I mean, you see it in some of these games where, you know, one swing, and Dave talks about it all the time, and you and I talk about it all the time. One swing, one play on defense, one pitch can cost you a game. I think I think Vandy's going to win that game. I think like you said, after Witherspoon, they don't have that much. I just see Vandy winning that one.
Those are two very similar teams. They played earlier this year in Norman, and OU beat them twice. Beat them pretty bad, I think, one of those games. They're very similar teams, though, in the fact that they're kind of offensively challenged. They have to manufacture runs, and their identities are built around, kind of creating chaos, I think, on the bases, and then being really good pitching and defense.
Yeah, I think so. I put Kentucky in that group too. The three of them are similar. I think their season's probably over. I don't know. Do you think Kentucky will get in?
I think they might. They've got a couple of notable series wins this year. It's going to be close. I heard something the other day that there have been 12 SEC teams that have had 13 and 17 conference records and an RPI in the 30s. And of those 12, only 4 have made the NCAA tournament. But one of them was Florida last year, and you saw what happened once they let Florida in. I think Kentucky's going to be sweating it. It may be one of those things where they're waiting around what happens in some of these other conference tournaments. You know, like, does UC Irvine win the Big West tournament? Because if they don't win it, then all of a sudden that becomes a 2-bid league, then a 1-bid league. And those right. are the types of events that can knock these bubble teams down the pecking order a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. And then A&M, you look at A&M and you thought they were going to be in good shape getting in, and then, you know, Missouri comes along and sweeps them. And I think that was kind of the dagger to them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they can do anything here to get them in. I mean, possibly win the whole thing, but I don't know. I mean, it's they've got their work cut out for them for sure.
Yeah, I don't feel as good about the SEC getting as many teams now as I did, say, 2 weeks ago. A&M Missouri certainly had a big it's just got a ripple effect, I think, and it's one of those that's going to be really hard for A&M to come back from. D1 baseball's projections haven't changed since yesterday. They've still got Arkansas as the 2 national seed, with Kansas, Creighton, and Wright State coming to Baum Walker Stadium. But the one that I thought was really interesting, Bubba, was that now, because Virginia lost yesterday, they have taken Virginia out of the field. They had them come into Fayetteville. They've taken them out of the field, and they've got Notre Dame coming to Fayetteville. These, you know, I don't know how well these guys know what they're talking about, but it's always kind of fun to track who they think might come here.
Right. And I tell you what, they're usually pretty close. They usually nail it or get really close to it. So yeah, it's always fun to look ahead and see who could be a possible matchup. Are you surprised to see us number 2 nationally?
No, I'm not. That's where I'd have them. I think there's a path for Arkansas to be the number 1 national seed. I really do. Because they've got the sweep of Texas. What happens if Texas gets beat by Tennessee today and Arkansas makes it to the championship game Sunday? Arkansas's got a really good case to be the number 1 national seed. because there's just not, I've talked about this a lot of times this year, there's just not that one team that's jumped up and said, hey, here I am, you know, 2-3 weeks to go in the season. I'm the team that separated myself from everybody else. I wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas is the number one. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I still go back to the fact that we swept Texas and absolutely dominated them in every aspect of the game. And then I wake up Monday morning and Texas is still number one. So
and Arkansas is like number seven.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still scratching my head about that one. Because I'm a common sense guy and it just, that doesn't add up. But we said all along the poll that matters is the one that comes out Memorial weekend. So yeah. We'll see where we end up, but I do feel really good about this weekend. I feel different coming to Hoover this year than I have in the past.
One of my favorite sound bites this year was Jay Johnson on his radio show the day after Arkansas swept Texas, or 2 days after, and he said, "I fully expected to wake up and Arkansas be the number one team." And he said, "And they were number seven this morning." And I'm asking myself, do these guys even watch college baseball? So that was a good line from LSU's coach. You know, speaking of LSU, they're in the same session with Arkansas. And I was looking at ticket prices yesterday, and what I noticed is that the Friday session at the tournament right now is it's the hottest ticket. It's the most expensive ticket there. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you're in that same session with LSU. And like we've said, this is like what Kentucky basketball does with the SEC tournament. This is their time to go there and hang out. And I was watching the Florida Ole Miss game last night, and I think I may have seen more LSU fans in the stands than I saw Florida.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they get there early. They stay all day. They set their little tents up and they've got their game face on early in the morning. So it's always fun to see them. I'm not an LSU fan, as you know, but yeah, their fans do. They definitely fill the ballpark. So it'll be fun to see all the red there too. There's going to be a lot of red in the stands. So looking forward to that.
Okay, so I want to read a quote to you that Matt Hobbs had yesterday on Chuck Barrett and Bo Mattingly's show. He said, quote, "I really don't want to waste the back-to-back games against Tennessee where we played our asses off both of those games. The importance of keeping momentum, Bubba, from what they were able to do in games 2 and 3 against Tennessee." You and I talked about this last weekend, that we thought game 2 against Tennessee was probably the best game that we have seen all year, the most entertaining game. And, you know, to keep the momentum from those two performances where they really did, they had to battle and they had to fight against some stuff because, you know, it didn't set up well for them to win that series. The importance of keeping momentum from that series going this week, win or lose, because, you know, you can lose and still play well. But the importance of keeping that going into and using this weekend as a bridge to the regional.
Oh, I think it's huge. And I think the Tennessee series showed what this team is made of because, you know, after you lose that first game and then you look at what we've got ahead of us in game two, it didn't look good. And this team found a way to win. And I think that says a lot about this team. But I agree. I think keeping the momentum, I think it's awesome that Hobbs said that. Coming down here and, you know, if you win this thing, where before – so I think a huge difference, Matt, is – you look at the way the schedule has come out in the past where we finished up on the road. We're the first ones to get to Hoover. We're here for 2 or 3 days before the tournament even starts, sitting around the hotel. And then we play the games. I think that's just draining on the players. That's a long time to be on the road. And even if you're in the hotel and not playing, just being on the road drains you. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that has something to do with us being tired when the regional starts. I love the fact this year that we finished up the season at home. We got down here. We got to Hoover Wednesday. Get a little workout in on Thursday. And then play Friday. I think we're fresh. And then I think, you know, win or lose, we're going to go back home. We're going to be fresh, ready to play regional. And I just like finishing up at home and so much better than how it's been in the past. I mean, I just think that many days on the road drains a team.
Yeah, this is a totally different feel going down there this week. The team flew down yesterday. They practiced at Baum yesterday morning, Flew down last night, got to watch some of the games at the ballpark yesterday. I know they're going to go through a workout early today, and then Dave Van Horn's going to talk to reporters. You can hear and read what he had to say at our website, wholehogsports.com, this afternoon. But, yeah, it's a totally different feel. And when I was talking to Matt earlier this week, he said, you know, usually I'm sitting here in my office, and if I'm watching the SEC tournament, I'm pretty upset because we've gotten eliminated and we've come back to Fayetteville, and I'm watching the teams that are still there. He said, this is weird watching Tuesday games, and we haven't gone down there to play yet, because for people who don't know, in the past what they would do is, you know, Arkansas ended on the road so many times. Let's say like last year, they went to College Station on a Wednesday, played a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, and then traveled over to Hoover and then didn't play until the following Wednesday. And to Bubba's point, they're in a hotel for, you know, depending on how long they go in Hoover, they could be in a hotel for 12 days in a row. And it's just a totally different feel this year. It's and I'm interested to see how that plays out, not just this week, but like you said, Bubba, in the regional next week. I want to get your reaction to the all-SEC teams, because you and I talked about who we would put on there when you were in the studio on Monday. For people who don't know, the all-SEC teams, and some of these are ties, but this is it. You got Rylan Galvin and Luke Heyman at catcher. Bubba's choice at first base, Andrew Fisher, won over my choice, Jared Jones. I wasn't real I didn't have a deep-seated belief in Jared Jones. It's just that's who I went with. Gavin Keelan of Tennessee, the second baseman. Third base was split between Ace Reese of Mississippi State and Slade Alford of Georgia. Vahiva Aloy, obviously SEC Player of the Year, is the all-SEC shortstop. In the outfield, they had Ike Irish, Charles Davelin, and Cade Snell of Alabama, Irish from Auburn. Cujillo Aloy got DH, all-SEC. And then, Bubba, the ones that really kind of piqued me or my interest is the fact that Zach Root got first-team all-SEC pitcher. I wasn't expecting that. Along with Liam Doyle of Tennessee, Kate Anderson of LSU, and Kyson Witherspoon of OU, the relief pitchers were Dylan Volantis of Texas, Zach Cohen of LSU, and Carson Osmer of Alabama. When you heard the all-SEC teams, the all-SEC awards, I wonder what stood out to you in one way or the other.
Well, Zach Root definitely is something that jumped out at me. I'm really happy for him. I thought he was kind of – you and I talked about it. I didn't know that he'd make first team or not. I mean, I think you go back and look at a few of his starts, though. I think the Texas start. I think he had a few really good starts that kind of put him over the top there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's well-deserved. A little bit surprised, but, I mean, I love it. Cujillo Aloy – love the fact that he made it. You look at him; he was a guy struggling to get in the lineup early in the year. Globe Life had to have a couple of big pinch hits before he got in the lineup. So you look at what he did. I'm super excited for him. And then you know, Vahiva, we kind of saw that coming and knew that was going to happen. But him, Player of the Year, and just super excited for the Loy brothers. Just the fact that two brothers. Our first team all SEC. That's never happened.
Has it never happened? Because I wondered if it had ever happened before. I know that there have been instances where brothers have been all SEC, but it's, you know, it might be 2, 3, 5 years apart. I wondered if it had ever happened where two brothers had been all SEC in the same season.
Yeah, no, I read somewhere that in the history of the SEC that two brothers have never been first team all SEC.
That's wild.
So, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, you know, and I'm sure the Aloy parents are super happy for their kids. That's awesome there. And look, it couldn't happen to two nicer, more respectful kids than Vahiva and Cujillo. I mean, they're just awesome. They're great teammates. Just good people in general. So I'm super happy for those two guys.
Isn't it cool how it's worked out for the Aloys? I mean, I got a feel when Vahiva was choosing between Arkansas and the other teams that he was talking to out of the transfer portal at Sacramento State, that it's so far from home. I mean, anything's far from Hawaii, but it's so far from home. It's a place where, you know, he's probably never been outside of his recruiting visit. And you're wondering, you know, is this the best choice? And then you fast forward 2 years and the whole place has embraced these two, unlike anything I think I've really ever seen, the way they've embraced these two players. And I don't, it's just turned out to be the coolest story, I feel like, for the Aloy brothers and the whole family.
Yeah, I think that's a huge testament to the Razorback fans. I mean, have you ever seen so many Hawaiian shirts in your life?
I mean, it's
they're all over Bomb Walker.
Yeah.
I've never owned a Hawaiian shirt in my life, but I guess I'm about to go out and get one. But yeah, I just think it's cool how they've kind of they've just fit in perfect here. I think the fan base has really taken them in. And I don't know. I think it's awesome. And I think it's awesome. You look at Brent Iredale too. All the kangaroos the little chant they do when he gets on base. I think it's really neat how our fan base kind of adopts these guys and they really just take them in. I think it's really cool. But the Aloy, the story behind those two is just really awesome.
I'm gonna take that big dog money you talked about a little bit earlier. Instead of getting an RV this weekend, I'm gonna get you a Hawaiian shirt and we're gonna lay it on the chair here. And when you come in Monday, you can put it on.
I'll wear it Monday morning. I'll wear it with pride.
Cam Kozel got all SEC too, second team. Of course, we mentioned Fisher and Bear Jones at LSU, and because they gave it to him at first base because that's where he played most of the season. Neat deal for him. And the thing that stands out to me is that it really speaks to how good Arkansas has been offensively this year. Like, Vahiva Aloy leads the SEC in runs scored and hits. And Kahio Aloy leads the SEC in RBI overall, but I think Cam Kozel leads the SEC in conference only RBI. And we talked about this before, the quality and the depth of the lineup has just been so good.
Well, and I go back to the fact, just like Kahio had to fight to get in the lineup, so did Cam Kozel. You remember early in the year, he was fighting to get in the lineup to get at bats, and then he got in there. Got an opportunity and then, just never looked back. And I think those are the guys that you really pull for that have to struggle to get in the lineup, because I tell kids all the time, like a lot of guys when they're not playing, they pout, they get a bad attitude. You don't see the guys that DBH and his staff brings in here. They bring in the right guys. And you know what? If you're not playing, work harder, and eventually, cream rise to the top. You're going to get your opportunity when you do take advantage of it. And that's what both these guys did. And so you got to love that.
Okay, so I don't think Arkansas can play Ole Miss anymore without bringing up the fact that Mike Bianco and Dave Van Horn have coached each other against each other several times. This is the 84th time that these two have coached against each other during their careers. Bianco has a 44-39 lead in the series between them. It's getting to the point where you wonder, like, how many games can these two coach against each other? Because, the feeling I get with both of them, Bianco seems like he's kind of redeemed himself at Ole Miss the last year or two after, they had a little bit of a drop-off after they won the title. There are people down there saying that this may be his best coaching job he's ever done. Ole Miss wasn't expected to do a whole lot this year, and here they are potentially going to be a regional host. And so you wonder, how many times are these two going to face each other? Because I don't get the sense that either of them are wanting to slow down in the immediate future. 84 times, the only two coaches that we can find, and this is not an official record, but the only two coaches that we can find who have coached against each other more, Bubba, were Roy Mewbourne at Vanderbilt and Keith Madison at Kentucky. They coached against each other 91 times between 1979 and 2002. There were some years there where Vanderbilt and Kentucky played like 7-8 times a year. So that really, that drove that number up pretty high. But when you think about Bianco and Van Horn and the battles that their teams have had, I wonder, what do you think?
Well, first of all, they'll eventually get to 91 because I don't think either one of them are going anywhere. And I think it's funny to think back. Remember Bianco a few years ago, before they made that run to the World Series. I mean, they were struggling. There was talk of him losing, getting fired, and all of a sudden that team turned it around. And I remember when that team came to Fayetteville and they were scuffling them. And I'm looking at their lineup. I'm thinking, how are these guys not winning? There's a stud here, a stud here. I mean, their whole lineup. But yeah, I mean, when you think of the two of them facing each other, I mean, it's been It's fun matchups. And look, I am not an Ole Miss fan. Anyone that's ever heard me talk, I don't like a lot of the extra stuff they do. But it's still good baseball. If you want to see good baseball, watch Bianco versus Van Horn. And then, you know, then I've still got to listen to some of these morons out there saying, well, you know, Bianco has a national championship and Dave Van Horn doesn't, so he's a better coach. And look, I'll never buy into all that noise. I would trade Van Horn for anyone in the nation. And so, yeah, but it's funny to listen to some of the people say that nonsense. And yeah, it just makes me, that's, as soon as you say that, I'm done with you.
When you've coached against somebody, because I'm sure there are guys in the coaching that you do, Bubba, that you see a lot and that you've seen a lot throughout the years. When you coach against somebody that many times, I would think you get to know their tendencies. Like, okay, we know what he's going to do here, and they know what we're going to do here. And I wonder what's the kind of the game within the game.
Oh, it's awesome because, I mean, there's certain guys that I've coached a lot against, and I know exactly when they like to steal, when they like to bunt. I know when they're going to try to pick, when they're going to do, you know, try to do just all their different things that they try to pull throughout a game. You know them ahead of time. You're like, okay, they're getting ready to do this. So I mean, I think when you watch them play against, there's a lot of like inside strategy. So you look at, you know, certain counts, DVH loves to put on, you know, loves to get the runner going. And you'll see Bianco pick. They might pitch out. I just think it's fun watching them go head-to-head and because they do know each other so well. So it's fun to watch the behind-the-scenes stuff, a lot of stuff that a lot of people don't notice. But if you really pay attention to the game, you'll see a lot of strategic stuff behind the scenes, and it's fun to watch.
Okay, before we get you out of here, I got a trivia question for you. Van Horn and Bianco have coached against each other in 5 different cities. Okay, Fayetteville, Oxford, obviously Omaha a few years ago. They've met in Hoover before. What is the 5th city, Bubba?
Oh, wow! Houston,
Minneapolis.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, so it was 2007, early season. They actually played a non-conference game, Arkansas and Ole Miss did, against each other in Minneapolis at the old Hoover Dome.
Wow, that's right. I forgot about that.
How about that? So Mike Bianco and Dave Van Horn, game number 84 against each other. And to Bubba's point, as long as they keep coming back, they're going to keep coaching against each other 3 times every year because Ole Miss is one of Arkansas's permanent opponents each season. They're going to come to Fayetteville next season. Bubba, appreciate you doing this and looking forward to seeing you down at the ballpark tomorrow.
Enjoyed it. I'll see you tomorrow. Go Hogs.
All right. Thank you, Bubba Carpenter, who is the analyst for the Razorback Sports Network. You can hear him on the broadcast with Phil Elson tomorrow from the Hoover Met, Arkansas and Ole Miss at 3 o'clock. In Hoover. Tomorrow, Ethan Westerman's going to be here. He'll be doing a special softball show while I'm traveling to Hoover. Softball gets underway against Ole Miss, ironically enough, in the Fayetteville Super Regional tomorrow night at Bogle Park. So hope that you'll join him here on the show. We won't have a show on Memorial Day. Obviously, we'll have plenty of coverage at our website at wholehogsports.com of the Razorbacks baseball selection in the NCAA tournament. And then we'll be back here with a reaction show on Tuesday to the field for coming to Fayetteville for the regional. Hope to see you there on our podcast. Hope you'll join Ethan tomorrow on the podcast. And hope we see you throughout the long weekend at wholehogsports.com. Have a great day, everybody.